From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. I'm delighted you're joining us once again as the Reverend Andrew Patterson is with us to let the Bible speak and bring another message in his series on the life of Jacob. But before we hear it, let's take just a few moments and listen to these words in song.
Good morning, folks. Nice to be with you again this morning. And we do trust and pray the Lord will bless that message and song to your hearts. And turning back to the study of Jacob at Peniel, Genesis chapter 32, and I want to read verse 27 and 28. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. There is many today who preach of salvation whereby the sinner can make some sort of profession of faith, and they can continue as they were before. There is no marked change in their speech and their behaviour, in the places to which they go and in the company in which they keep. For many there is no change seen even in their appearance. There would be very little which would say to others, I have been with Jesus, and am washed in the precious blood. That in essence is the easy believism nonsense that is prevalent today. The bottom line, as far as God's salvation is concerned, and as far as the Word teaches, is that when a person is born again of God's Spirit and is truly saved, there is and there must be the change. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold all things become new. That was what God was teaching Jacob at the place called Peniel. The angel was reminding Jacob of what regeneration really is and what it involves. That after conversion, there is the matter of sanctification, the work of God's free grace. In other words, the conforming of the life into the image of Christ. Just picture Jacob in the grip of the angel. His greatest and only desire now is that the Lord might bless him as he is coming out of the darkness and into the light. That is the sort of encounter that Jacob was experiencing with God, the type that transforms. And we are now looking at what led to the blessing that God was to bestow on him. The cry that we looked at the last time when Jacob was heard to say, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me," is very significant. What it does is that it marks a change in the attitude of this man. Jacob throughout his life had lived and acted in many ways that was not becoming of a child of God. He had rested in his own initiative. He was manipulative and self-confident. But now he is brought to what the old preachers would have called an end of himself. And so when we hear this cry, don't presume that it is a cry of strength, or that it has a note of victory or triumph about it. What we must remember is that Jacob had been touched by the angel. He had been broken in the very strongest place of the wrestler. He is wounded, and he is a hurt man, who has been made to cling, and is only continuing the conflict because of the mighty upholding arms of the angel. And so from all these aspects, we must remember that his cry is forced out of him due to his utter weakness, and the weakness which Jacob now feels. And that is a new experience for him. It is borne out by Hosea chapter 12, and how it describes this occasion. Notice the order in which the prophet describes it in verse 4. He wept and made supplication unto him. Jacob is choked with emotion. He is shedding tears, and we might presume it has been some time since he ever did that. And through his expression of utter weakness and been melted and beaten, Jacob cries. And his determination is that the angel might bless him. In this hour, he has found himself to be dependent upon the power of the Lord more than ever. You know, we are no different to Jacob. We all want the blessing of the Lord. But there are times that we don't fully realize what we are asking for. It may be like Jacob that we are in effect asking for a sore trial to come our way. And yet God has dealt with Jacob through this all, as he does with each of his children, in grace. Jacob sees that the angel wants to leave the scene, but his cry is now one of desperation. He in effect says, "Lord, how can I let thee go? You have wounded me, you have left me useless, and hindered in the face of my advancing brother Esau. I am an easy prey for his anger. You cannot desert me now." Have you ever been there? God sometimes has to do that, so that we see and believe we have no option but to cast ourselves on him. But dear listener, you will notice that at this point in the struggle, that God does something unexpected. And that is, he asks him his name, verse 27. "What is thy name?" Now, of course, it doesn't mean that the angel doesn't know who he is, nor is it just a ploy to get him talking, but there is a deeper significance to this question. It is more for the benefit of Jacob to be faced with this question than for the angel to ask it. What the angel is asking Jacob is, "Who are you?" It was a question to ascertain the sort of character that Jacob felt that he was. The answer, Jacob, and the significance of the Bible names brings out not only who a person was, but what a person was. The angel of the covenant asked, "Who are you?" And the reply from Jacob was, "I am the heel catcher. I am the twister, the cunning one." And in admitting that he was Jacob, he was confessing truly what his character had been down through the years. He was a man who was reluctant to face Esau, yet he didn't want to face the past either. But the Lord causes him to do just that. For with this question and answer, he is irresistibly drawn back to the home place in Beersheba. For as the angel asked this question, Jacob must have recalled that time 20 years earlier. For then he had gone into the darkened chamber. There was his father, who at the fear of death was ready to dispense with the blessing to his favourite son Esau. But this was the point where Jacob, disguised and prepared with meal in hand, was to seek that same blessing. We take up the account of it in Genesis 27 and verse 18. "And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Look at the question that is put to him. The same question as he faced at Peniel. And Jacob would have remembered how in his cunning way and lies He said that he was Esau. And there had to be another lie to follow that one in verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." He brings God into it. The old man, still puzzled, holds him tightly, puts his arms around his neck. He feels the roughness of the skins that his mother had covered his smoothness with. He has to repeat the lie again in verse 24 before he receives that blessing. Now, 20 years later, that question is put to him again. He is, this time, in the grip of the angel of the Lord, and he knows that he cannot deceive him whose arms are around him. He cannot look into those eyes and tell the lie. "Who art thou?" He can only weep out a single word, "Jacob." He wants the blessing, but no longer on the basis of a lie, but on the grounds of truth. That is the only way that God blesses men. It is when we confess that we are a sinner, lost, helpless, twisters, just like Jacob, that God promises to bless us. His conviction from the past brings him simply to confess who he is. And when Esau came back to find that he had been deceived, how true his words proved to be, as you find him in Genesis 27 and verse 36. He said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." But through this penial experience, Jacob is forced to look back. The sinfulness of his nature is brought home to him. He was Jacob. He was well named. Any favour that he would seek from God would be unmerited, and God must deal with him in mercy. He might have planned to outwit Esau again, but if worst should come to the worst, then he could take to his heels and run. But now all those hopes are dashed. His dependence must be upon God. His plans are broken. He's wounded. He can't even run away now. God had removed from Jacob every last vestige of his own ability. His only hope is from what flows and comes from Christ. That is the place that as sinners saved by God's grace, we need to be at. Sometimes God causes us to be convicted from our character of the past. It was so with David in Psalm 51 verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God," he is heard to say, "and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Is that where you are, dear soul, this morning? You're saved. You're washed in the precious blood. There was that time where you were born again of God's Spirit. But you've lost the joy, and you've been walking afar off and by your own initiative. Then I do trust and pray that even this morning, in considering Jacob at Peniel, that you'll come back to the Lord. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.